This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, I think that's our cue. Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate that. Yeah. All right, so we're talking all show long about things that inspire you and how we can help inspire you inside your home and your life. And we have all sorts of experts joining us. I threw out at the beginning of the show that, we want to hear from you, the folks, the listeners of WGN here, about people or things that inspire you in your life. And we'll be giving away some gift packs all show long for the folks who do call in. And we got our first caller here. James is joining us. Hey, James, thanks for joining the Frank Fontana Show.
Hey, first-time caller.
Ah, cool, man. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Sitting in the garage today just listening to your radio show, having a great day, waiting for the rain.
Don't say that. You're going to jinx us. It's so beautiful out. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Shanahan, Illinois.
All right, cool. Where is that exactly?
That's about 20 miles west of Joliet.
Ah, so you're kind of way out there, huh?
Yeah, we can watch our dog run away for a week.
Now, the weather would... So would the weather be coming past you towards us in downtown Chicago, usually?
Pardon me?
Usually the weather seems like it's coming across the state, across your house, and right into downtown Chicago.
Yes, it seems to be on that same kind of path. We're always in the twilight zone that... The Coal City tornado was probably about 2 miles south of us, so Jeez. We were very fortunate that that passed. But
wow. Well, good for you. We like to hear that stuff. So tell us about your inspirational story.
I have a great one. You know, I had a little bit of a learning disability when I was young. You know, mathematics was never really, my forte. So when I was about 7 years old, listened to the Beatles. You know, they came out. I'm 60 years old, so when the Beatles came out, I said, I got to play drums. That's one of my things I got to do. So I went to take drum lessons. My first drum teacher told me that if you don't understand mathematics, you're not going to learn this. And we struggled and struggled and struggled. Never could figure out, time and cutting things in half and doing quarter notes and eighth notes and all that. And he just said, kid, you just got to give it up. And so broke my heart until I met one of my drum teachers. His name was Dennis. And he said, you know what? Why don't you just... do this, go boom, chicka boom, chicka boom, like that. Find out what the chick part is, what the boom part is, and apply that to whatever you're playing. And in other words, just sound it out.
Sure.
Play from your head, your soul.
Yeah.
And I've been a professional drummer now for 50 years.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I made a living at it. I played many different bands, through the years. And if it wasn't for this gentleman, Dennis, I don't think I would have been where I was.
Are you still in contact with Dennis?
Dennis, I think he faded away. I'm 60, so he was in his 30s. So hopefully he's here, but I don't know where.
How great is that? It is a fantastic story. And I love the part that it's like you get back to, because there's the technical aspect of music, and then there's the soul of music. And what you tapped into was the true, pure soul and feeling music versus...
And truly, if a man can make a dozen donuts and never read the recipe, does it make him less of a baker?
Absolutely not. And just because somebody doesn't go to design school and who's a stellar designer doesn't make him less of a designer.
True.
And I think that's true in any regard. I think when you're born with a certain thing, it's going to come out at some point. And you were lucky enough to find a mentor. That's a fantastic story. And James, you just won yourself a gift prize for Rudy's Bar and Grill right here in downtown Chicago. So the next next time you make the trip, you can stop over off Michigan and Wabash and have yourself some grub and some drink on us.
Well, I'm all about that.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Hold
hey,
on.
Nice I'll talking
have,
to you.
Yeah, you too. I'll have Ella get your information.
Thank you very much.
All right. So now we're going to go from James and that inspirational story to how do we inspire you from the inside out? And I mean the inside of your home. And joining me to talk about this topic is Principal of Design, formerly with Hammersmith Design, Eric Rothman. Hey, Eric, thanks for hanging out with us.
My pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So tell us, what does it mean when we you and I as designers kick around the idea of an inspired home? Like, how does one get an inspired home?
I don't think it's necessarily cut and dry. I think there's a number of different ways, and for everybody it's different. So every house, every person who lives in every house is different, and so you kind of have to design for the person. But
let's start there, Eric. Let's start with when you meet a client, and their main focus is to anybody could order out of a catalog and buy nice furniture and pick decent paint. But how, if I want to take that to the next level and say, truly, I want to come home after a long day of work and really be inspired by my surroundings. So let's say I'm the client. What are the things that you try to pull out of the client to figure this out?
Well, I think what you try to pull out of them is what they want. What's the most important thing to them? What is it that they truly value? Because that's what a home is. A home is, you know, it's a place where you can get away, where you can get away from the noise. It's a place where you feel comfortable and happy and safe. It's a place where, you know, where you can truly be inspired. So you got to find out from them what it is that, what do they want? Do they want, you know, to get a time with their kids? Are they, you know, are they both work? Are there two working parents? Are the kids going to sporting events all the time?
Yeah.
You know, what is their life? How do they live? And then you design towards that.
Yeah, and I think, when you're actively designing and having clients and stuff like that, and you come from a big firm, are you sensing any of this changing in terms of the clients and the people you're dealing with? Are people less interested in being inspired versus just get me the best, newest, cleanest type of stuff?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Actually, we tend to get clients who I think are more interested in sort of the art of design. So I think we have the luxury of having clients who are interested in that. But I think, yeah, every day you get that. I just want a room where I can, where, you know, a big square room where I can sit and watch TV.
Psychologically speaking, do you think that's a tell in terms of just the general state of society? Is that if you can't fathom that the place you live in affects you in a way that could impact everything you do in your day? I mean, do you agree with me on this statement that it's, you know, because a very superficial, you know, person or somebody who cares very little about their aesthetics may not even think about that factor in terms of how it impacts their life. Do you agree that that's such a huge impact in terms of the thing?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, but the vast majority of houses that were designed by builders, and so they think you want a two-story living room or a formal dining room or whatever it is that they think is, you know, a huge ballroom kind of master bath. And so that's what they think people want, and that's what they build. I think that if I took any client and I designed a house for them, they would be thrilled. I mean, I think we could create magic in their lives. And I think that's what a house should be. It should be beautiful. It should be invigorating. It should be something where you just go, wow, I'm happy to be here. It feels good. It feels safe. So it's less about society and it's more about what we give society. So,
true.
You know,
I like that. And before we start divulging on some of these secrets and tips that people can do at home, we do have to take a quick break, and we'll have more Eric Rothman, Principal of Design, on this topic. And if you guys have questions for Eric and you got some dilemmas going on in your home that you want to help two designers kicking it around on the phone right now, we'd be happy to help you out. 312-981-7200. And we'll talk also about the importance of paint color in this type of design, because this is a very specific niche in the design world. All right, more with Eric Rothman when we come back. All right, folks, we're continuing our conversation on the topic of inspired design at home and how to inspire your life in general. We have a slew of great experts joining us. It's a fantastic day outside. It couldn't be better unless I was actually broadcasting live from the beach right now. That would be fun. But since we're not, let's talk to Eric Rothman. He's a principal of design formerly with Hammersmith, and we're talking, Eric, about how one, right now in their home, if they sat around and looked around, how can they do things different to create a more inspiring environment?
Well, so that's a huge question. That's a really tough question.
Well, let's start with the basics. Let's talk about the sense of space.
Okay. All right. Well, what you want to do, I think, is you want to create a space that feels comfortable that kind of encourages whatever it is that you're going to do in that space. And so it has to feel right. If you're talking about a kitchen, it's one thing. If you're talking about a bedroom, it's something else. We had a client once who would actually sit on the toilet and play the guitar. He wrote music while he was on the toilet. So that's a good example. You have to design a water closet that actually works for a guitar. But so everybody, again, it's different, but for, you know, a living room or a family room, you want to create a space that has a lot of light, a lot of natural light, that's big, that's kind of communal, that maybe has a little comfortable offshoots, whether it's a window seat where you can kind of sit and be out of the main flow. You probably want to be fairly connected with people around you because it's an entertaining social space.
Sure.
That's one great way. Kitchen, same thing. You know, we have such little time together, especially people with kids and active lives. Kitchen becomes really the hub of life, of activity in the house. And so you really want to have a kitchen that's more than just a room.
And why, are you seeing a drop in the request for dining room, formal dining rooms?
We're actually, you know, I would say it's different. I think we are actually seeing more of that in the last few years. However, I think that a room where I think people are going back to sitting at the dining room table as opposed to sitting.
That would
in front
be
of
great.
The TV.
I mean, cause yeah, so, I mean, I think, you know, less in front of the TV, more, you know, if you have a big kitchen island, it seems like people just seem to love to congregate in the kitchen, and usually end up just hanging and eating. You know, we don't have an island in our kitchen, because we have an older home, but we do focus on our dining room. But, you know, in general, when I talk to some of my clients and folks, they're, you know, they're less impressed with doing a fancy formal dining room and rather spend,
right,
rather open a floor plan up, lose a dining room or a foyer, and guests, you know, and just have that large open space.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you can make a dining room that can, or a dining area that's connected to another room, be it a kitchen or a living room. You can make it very informal, or you can make it very formal. So there's just by the way you decorate it, the way you finish off the table or the space. Sure. And so it doesn't have to, it can feel very formal, but also feel very connected. So, you know, a family can sit it down for dinner every day.
And Eric, as far as, you know, to me, the number one killer of inspiration or pretty much any design is clutter.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, because it goes to the extreme of hoarding versus just a small amount of clutter. Where does this fall on your spectrum of, you know, design?
I think it's huge. As weird as it sounds, I'd put it, you know, if I had four or five principles of design, eliminating clutter would be one of those five. It, because
would it be your number one?
No, I don't know that it would be my number one, but if you included eliminating visual clutter as opposed to actual clutter, you know, in addition to extra, to just actual clutter like magazines and bills and newspapers, yeah, I would probably put it pretty darn high. And the reason for that is that it just kills, you know, the energy. You walk in, you've got these stacks of stuff. It's just a reminder of what you have to do or what you haven't done. You know, and all these things visually, too many fabrics, too many pictures, too many paintings.
Too much furniture at times. You know, you ever been to a space where it's just like everything's slammed next to each other? And but I love this piece. It was handed down from my grandmother, and I love that chair. And, you know, it's
exactly
suffocating.
Yeah, exactly. And what happens is if you put too much of that stuff together, you don't see any of it. And so, you know, I'd rather
that's a great
have
statement,
a wall,
actually, because you're right. It's, you can have the most beautiful pieces in the world, have them all slammed into a room. How can you appreciate it?
Right, right. So I guess if I were to say that, you know, one thing that you could do to inspire, it would be to simplify your space. You know, find what's truly meaningful to you and display that. If it's not truly meaningful, if it isn't truly special, then get rid of it or put it somewhere else where you don't have to see it every day. That way what's important sticks out, which is, you know, it's not just in design or decorating, it's in life.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you're absolutely right on. And do you suggest for people to create what I like to call an inspirational wall? Where it,
absolutely.
And tell us about how what your version of an inspirational wall would look like.
Well, it can be anything. It could be what you're interested in. It could be, you know, it could be trips that you've gone on. We've had clients, and usually what we do is we'll do a single wall. It's one place, so it's not all over the place. You don't want to see, and you don't want to be one dimensional. But
is there a right place for this wall? Because that's kind of the question that I get a lot. Is like, which is the best wall to do this in?
Oh, you're going into the master bedroom. It depends how personal it is. Going into the master bedroom, you could do it in your living room. I mean, you could do it in the foyer. It depends on how important that is and what you want people to see. So I don't think it's – I think it's more important to do it and where it is really kind of personal choice.
So it's less important as it being a statement as soon as you walk in a space. I mean, I personally – I think that and if you were to choose a room – you know, if we just said it's a rectangular room, the furthest wall from the entry, in my opinion, would be the best wall.
Right.
You know, because you have that. It does two things. It takes the eye and fools the eye to bring it to the length of the room, and making the room appear a little bit bigger because you're instantly visually going to that wall. And then as you walk to it, it kind of has a little bit of a grand presence in walking to this wall. Do you suggest people hang like plaques and certificates, or is that too businesslike for you?
I think it is. I truly think it is. Again, I think there's a place for that, but I wouldn't want to see it.
So a good home office would be, you know, nice to hang your trophies and your stuff, but don't put that in the living room, folks.
Exactly.
All right, and how about the folks who collect those mementos? Is there a way to use these for inspiration without killing a room?
Yes, I think there is. I think what you have to do is, you know, fewer is better. You know, choose your best you know, we had a client who had a beer can collection, you know, thousands of beer cans. And if you see thousands of them, first of all, it's just really overwhelming. And it becomes very one-dimensional very quickly. So choose the 5 or 10 best items you've got, display them, or 20, and put them in a place that's not the focal point. Maybe it's up high on a high shelf or something, so you can see it, so you can display it. Chances are you're much more interested in that than anybody else in the house or any other visitor. So
sure,
it should be something that's more. So again, a home office would be great for that.
And let's finally talk about color. What colors, in your opinion, in your professional opinion, are the best to help inspire people at home?
Again, it kind of depends on what you're doing. If it's, you know, a dining room, you know, the classic is a red, or I love a black dining room. It's
so
very dramatic.
Do I, Eric. I'm a big fan. You know, I think to me, black is one of the most underused colors in the color deck.
I agree. You know, if you're in a bathroom, you're going to go for kind of cooler, more natural. A cool green, a cool blue, something that's kind of a little bit more invigorating, but also somewhat, you know, maybe not invigorating, soothing and more peaceful. If, again, in the living room, you know, I would probably go fairly neutral. I'm a big fan of white too. I like black and I like white because white takes on a different character depending on how light is hitting it. So, you know, if you use natural light, if you have the opportunity to have a lot of natural lights, then white really kind of displays the different times of day, you know, how the light's coming in. Is it direct? Is it indirect? So, you know, I think less color in larger rooms tends to be nice, and sort of darker colors in spaces that are supposed to be more dramatic and moody, like a dining room, like a powder room, makes sense.
That's some great advice, Eric. We really thank you for taking the time and joining us on this Sunday. Get out there and enjoy some of this weather. Eric, do you have a website or an email address you want to give out in case somebody's looking for some designers to help them inspire their home?
Sure, absolutely. I can give you a couple. One of them is Hammersmith.net, a great company that we do most of our design we do through that. And then Rothman and Rothman Design.net is our website as well. So either one would be great.
Excellent. Eric, thanks so much, and have a good weekend.
All right, thanks.